World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I think this is going to be fun. I think this is going to be fun. And I'm glad you jumped in here with us. You ought to text somebody, say, hey, tune in. It's going to be fun on Coach Dave. He's not going to be so serious and not going to be, well, yes, we are to a degree, but still it's going to be fun. So have somebody jump on in here with us. Hey, if you're coming to Sky High this weekend, it'd be really nice if you let us know. I've had several people say, Coach, I told you I was coming. Yeah, I know, but as we get close to it, I forget where I put that list. And if you have not registered online, just text me, whatever, so that we know that you're coming, because we would hate for you to have to be at the end of the line eating bugs. We don't want you to have to do that. We want you to be able to eat too. So we're trying to make food plans and all that kind of stuff. And how about this one? I got the septic guy coming to pump the septic today. I got thinking about that. Oh my goodness, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? The septic got overflowed. How often do you guys pump your septics? You do that? Huh? That's something you probably ought to do every couple, 3 years. I don't know how long. It's been a while since we've done it. So I got to get up and get some of that stuff going on. Hey, well, listen, Matt. So look, I got some great stuff with you today. Some great stuff. And it's going to be edgy again. Because every time I do what I consider to be an edgy show, people love it. They say, Coach, give me some more of that edgy stuff. So if you're really, really deep, theologically, in line with the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, then today's show may not be for you. If you would like to maybe open your eyes a little bit to some things that are going on around us, and then this show is for you today. It's for you. So I want you to think about this. We now have... Spencer, this is going to be, I'm going to go kind of go around the block here to get where I'm going. So if y'all hang with me, if you will. Raise your hand if you went to J6. Uh-oh, FBI's looking at all of us. I went to J6. And those of us who went to J6, those of us who went to J6 know that what happened at J6 is not the story they told us. We know that. We were there. That didn't happen. Yet that has become the narrative for what's happened. Now, I want you to stop for a minute because I'm going to make a point to you here, okay? When was... What date was that? January 6, 2000, would that have been 21? Because it was the 20 election, wasn't it? So January 6, 2021, what year is this? 21, so 22, 23, that's 3 years ago, 3 years ago. And we now know that the entire J6 narrative has changed. That what happened on January 6th, just in 3 years of multimedia, internet, cell phones, podcasts, just in 3 years, the entire narrative of J6, the history of J6, will not be the true history. Would somebody give me a thumbs up and say, Coach, that's truth. That the story they're telling us about J6, 3 years removed from it, is not the true story. It has been changed. Story's been changed. Why? Because the victors write the history. You with me? Sure you are. So if they could, in 3 years, if they could change what happened on J6 in 3 years, what could they do over centuries? What could they do over centuries? If I were to sit all of you down right now, and let's say we just wanted to talk right now, those of us, I think most of us in here, pretty educated people. We're pretty smart. What if we said, I see Steve Deck up there. Hey, Steve, tell me the history of World War I. First of all, you're going to say, duh. I slept during that part of history class. Yeah, I did. Me too. Okay. Can anybody tell us what really happened in World War I? No, probably not. Anybody know what happened in World War II? What started out? We know about Pearl Harbor. Do we know the end workings? Anything that happened? Well, not really. We know what the history books tell us, but we're smart enough to know that the history books tell us the history that those who wrote the books want us to know. With me? Y'all still with me? What happened in Vietnam? What was Vietnam really all about? What was Timothy Leary and Tune In and Turn On and Drop Out and the Beatles and the moon landing? All that stuff, folks. The truth is, we don't really know the truth about a lot of it. We know versions of the truth. Everybody with me? I'm going somewhere today. Everybody with me? So if they were able in our lifetime, just in your, I'm 71 years old. I was conscious about 61 of those years. When I got to 10 years old, when they killed John F. Kennedy, 1963, I just turned 11. I was going to be 11 the next day. From that point on, I'm kind of, I sort of remember history. Up until then, maybe not so much. But from 1963 on, I kind of remember. By the way, you guys believe the JFK assassination story? You still believe that? Well, of course not, right? Although everybody in history believes Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, those of us with any sense at all know that's not true. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Why? Because, again, history is written by the victors, right? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. So knowing that and knowing how quickly they have rewritten January 6th, or how about this? How quickly they have buried the truth of the stolen election. And we have Dr. I got to show you a couple of things, and then I'm going to go somewhere, okay? So let me show you some way that the media, whoever they would be, you better understand this, friends. There is a devil. A devil's network, and they are not interested in telling the truth. They're interested in giving you a version of the truth, okay? And can I tell you something else? The modern American pastor has not done any research into many of the things that we're talking about. The modern American pastor would probably call you and I a conspiracy theorist. Were they at January 6th? No. Do they believe the January 6th story? Yeah, they probably do. They probably do. Were they at 911? No. Do they believe the 911 story? Yeah, they probably do. Why? Because that's all programmed down our throat by the people who are in control. And if you will be honest, you will admit this, not NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, CNN, pick whoever you want to. None of them are under the control of Christians. Would everybody agree with that? Well, if none of them are under the control of Christians, then why would any Christian automatically believe what these people were telling us? Now, magnify that by 6,000 years. Whoa, Coach, this is conspiracy theory central. Yeah, it sort of is to a point. It sort of is, but that's not what it is. It's really not what it is. It's for us to be wise enough to have the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. And not be afraid to question even what we've been told in church. Okay? There, I've kind of laid it out. So I'm going to show you this. It's going to be a good one. I got a couple hands up already. Dude. Come on in quickly, Roger. And come on in. Let's get it. Tell me a story, not your life story. Go ahead. No? No? Yes? No? Roger? Kevin? Quick, Kevin?
Well, you know what George Orwell said in 1984, who controls the past controls the future.
That's where I'm going. Rochelle.
I just wanted to add, I think they're saying that the five people that died, there's five police officers died in January 6th. And that is a total lie. All lies. They ended up dying from suicide afterwards because of their testimony.
Terrible lie. They murdered Ashley Babbitt. Murdered Ashley Babbitt. Roseanne Boylan was suffocated by the police. I don't want to get bogged down on that. Roger, your hand's still up. You want to come in? Oh, Roger. Okay, well, I try. Okay, so look, I want to show you. I'm going somewhere, okay? Stay with me, please. Stay with me. Play number two for me real quickly. Two. The media, this is unbelievable, folks. Watch the media cover for Joe Biden. Go ahead and play that, Spencer.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
She knows so long as she was denied.
In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
President Biden has a photographic memory. His understanding and mastery of a complicated geopolitical situation, remarkable.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
I was sitting, you know, a 2 feet from him across the table, and he was, you know, intense.
Have trouble walking sometimes?
Yeah, so did FDR. He wanted GD war.
But he's totally focused. He's very sharp.
They say he's sharp in meetings and so on.
Very lucid, very well informed. Biden is stately, and he comes with gravitas.
There hasn't been, as far as I know, a single claim that Biden made a mistake.
Ageism is an issue. Americans have a rich history of holding people's physical characteristics against them. Okay, you can ask African Americans.
He's older. That doesn't mean that he is unfit, and there's a lot of ageism there.
Now, this age attack, this obsession by the right.
Joe Biden may not be able to speak for himself the way that he used to.
They want to think to take on government if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, and that's him lying around.
I think people should be speaking up for Joe Biden.
Americans and reporters in the media are just judging him by a physical appearance, and it's horribly unfair. Age is an asset.
He showed exactly how with it he is.
The flip side of this coin is that he has a tremendous amount of wisdom and experience.
Have you heard any concerns from anyone who has met with President Biden about him seeming a little slower?
No.
More wild speculation from a bunch of people who have probably never been in a room with Joe Biden and certainly don't have medical degrees that I'm aware of.
You don't get paid for performance to be president. You don't. The job is not a job of endurance. I don't see Donald Trump out bike riding like Joe Biden.
It's the Hillary's email. All they have is that he's old.
He can clear a dementia bar, and that's probably a win.
The media are not fair, and they're getting less and less fair, and things are frightening. You have Wall Street Journal running a horribly sourced piece saying that Biden is unfit.
Dubious Wall Street Journal report about the president's acuity.
Shoddy story by the Wall Street Journal questioning Biden's mental fitness.
Wall Street Journal story had a lot of flaws, as you said. But Sinclair, they didn't do any original reporting. They didn't follow up. They didn't do any work.
The hero of the day is Hirsch Goldberg Poland is still... He is not here with us, but he's still being held by Hamas.
But a huge part of the Mueller report talks about Russian disinformation tactics. And one of the themes this election cycle is that Joe Biden is too old to lead. And so everyone is seizing upon this. And it is a classic disinformation tactic. And I think the best thing that we can do is to prepare the American people.
You got it? You understand now why so many people that you hang around with don't know what's going on? Because they're watching this kind of stuff, right? Clear programming. I wonder how many of those people, by the way, were Christians. Hang on now. Stay with me. I want you to go, Spencer. Oops, I better look over here. Spencer, pull up. This is unbelievable, but you're not going to hear anything about it. Ready? Pull up number six. This is Nancy Pelosi, hidden video, taking responsibility for January 6th. Are you ready? Go ahead.
House Republicans released never-before-seen footage from January 6th, appearing to show former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi make a stunning admission on camera.
Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?
They thought that they had sufficient resources.
There was not a question of how they had been. They don't know. They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more.
Wow.
Remember, they requested and they kept being denied.
She's taking responsibility. Yeah.
Pelosi seemingly taking responsibility, as Brian said, for the failed response in the clip from 3 years ago. But the Democrat is now downplaying those remarks.
Okay, hang on. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Okay. Now we know she turned down National Guard. We know. Come on. Folks, they're writing a narrative, and most people are, I'm going somewhere, you stay with me. Okay, pull up for me number four. Because, see, the farther you get away from this stuff, the more this truth is going to leak out, because most of us have been brainwashed and already moved beyond it. I could show you right now a picture of Building 11, is that what it was? Tower 11 falling down without anybody hitting it. And the average person will look at that and not think anything about it. No plane hit building 11, 7, hit building 7, and it fell to the ground. And no matter how many times you show that to the people that you know, they're not going to get, they've already been programmed. You with me? Okay, so look at this. 320,000 ghost voters have been identified in Michigan in the last election. What? Right now, on the voter rolls in Michigan, Dr. Doug Frank, there are 320,000 ghost voters that they have identified. Right now, people on the ballots, on the voter rolls, who are not people. Scroll down just a little bit. I'm trying to make a point for you, okay? Huh? They have found them. They're doing this in every city. And what are they already trying to get you to think? They've already tried to get you to forget about the past election, right? And all that. They want you to forget all about that. Well, forget all about that. That's why we're in trouble, because they know their goose is cooked. So something serious is going to happen. I'm just telling you. Okay, move on. One more thing, and one other thing. Does that show you that? Nah, did that. Okay, how about this one? Number one. Bring up number one. You better get ready, boys and girls. Warning label. The government now wants a warning label on social media posts. You understand what that means? They want to everything that appears on the internet, they want it to have a government approval of true or not true. The U.S. Surgeon General has called on Congress to require warning labels on social media platforms and their effects on young people's lives, similar to those now mandatory on cigarette boxes. In other words, watching Coach Dave may be hazardous to your health. You just may be loaded with disinformation. They want that. Folks, do you see what's going on here? So I'm going somewhere, okay? Oh, I'm going somewhere. So I'm sorry, it's rude when I look over here, but I got my list of stuff over here and I want to make sure that I do it in order, okay? Pull up number eight for me. Wait a minute. It's quite telling when one says there is zero evidence of giants. Zero evidence of giants, all right? Okay, look at the pictures of these swords that these guys are holding. Scroll on down. That was right there. Okay, just play a couple minutes. Look at the boots that guy is standing beside. Go ahead and play that, man. They say there's zero evidence of giants. You can really tell who's still blindly plugged into that system of control by the reactions of some of the most proven conspiracy.
The fact that you can find the remnants of the giants of this realm in nearly every civilization, from pictures, paintings, weapons, even depictions of them in Egypt building the pyramids.
There is audio. They aren't saying anything. They're just showing you pictures. Evidence everywhere of giants. Holding a crown, playing a horn up on a stepladder, boots as tall as a man, books. These aren't fake pictures, folks. Chair. David and Goliath. The giants were not only left out of the rewrite of our history, the sensibility were documented by many civilizations. Okay, that's all. That's all I want to show that. On and on and on. Physical pictures, evidence of giants having walked the earth. Now, I want to show you something. Pull up, I didn't send it to you, Spencer. Pull up Genesis 6. Genesis 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw how wicked it was. Now, friends, do you pull this out of the Bible? Do you pull this out of the Bible? So something crazy happened on point number seven. 1946, I think it was. The Dead Sea Scrolls popped up 1946, 10-year discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, 1946 through 1956, in the caves of Qumran Caves near on the West Bank. Now look, are you looking at me? I'm not saying this is Bible, but this would be like discovering a library that had historic books in it. So when they went and they discovered this cave with all these books in it, were these canon? Were these biblical canon, biblical truth? No, possibly not. But were they evidentiary history of the time in which these books were written? Yes or no? So the whole idea of giants and the Nephilim and all that stuff began to get new life in 1946 through 56, because why? These things had not been discovered. They hadn't been discovered. Oh boy. Okay, hang on. Pull up number eight. I'm going to just put some of this stuff in the chat so you guys can just do your own research, all right? Number eight. Oh, I showed down. I'm sorry, Spencer. Dumb me. Pull up number nine, Spencer. Number nine. Hey, friends, look, I don't know the answer, okay? I don't know the answer. But something is amiss in the Bible. I went to the website. What's the name of this website, Spencer? It doesn't matter. And I just Googled giants in the Bible. That's all I did. Scroll down, Spencer. Giants in the Bible. Boom. Genesis 6, we just read that. Numbers 13:33. And there we saw the Nephilim, who came from the the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. By the way, pull up number 10. Who was Anak? Who was Anak, and did he spawn giants? Scroll down a little bit here. What's it say about? Just do some research. Many of us have heard rumors about giants in the Bible. The first one comes to mind is Goliath. But some of us may have heard the term sons of Anak when referring to the giants who roamed the earth in the Old Testament. Who exactly was Anak in the Bible? By the way, Ashley Babbitt wasn't murdered. They changed that story just in 3 years. So who was Anak in the Bible? According to this article, he was a descendant of a man named Arba. It was in Joshua 15. We don't know much about Arba, but we know a little about Anak. He was considered a great man, but not by moral standards. Most likely he was considered great for his appearance, his physical prowess. We're not given many explicit details about him and how many giants descended from Anak from the passage, but we know Anak was born. The sons of God went into the daughters of humans and had children by them, which gave birth to the Nephilim. Many scholars believe the sons of God were demons and made with human women, giving birth to giants called the Nephilim, many of men of renown. We also know that God wiped out most of humanity through the flood, presumably killing off the original race of giants. Time out a minute. Raise your hand if you've heard an in-depth study in your church regarding the giants. An Anakim. Deuteronomy, we know before Anak was born, the sons of God went into the daughters of humans and had children by them, gave birth to the Nephilim. The Bible references other giants such as Goliath. He was a progenitor of the name of the race. He followed a race of warlike people. Joshua states that Anakim died. The people had rest from the war. We can imagine that the Anakim often made war, causing trouble for the people of God. These giants, right? Next one. Look, I'm not trying to convince you. I'm trying to tell you that something's wrong. Where did they live? Well, they didn't have the promised land. Look, I'm not going to read all this. You can do it on your own. Given the numbers passage describes Anak's people as descended from the Nephilim. We may want, okay, cool. Get away from that. So let's go to giants in the Bible. Giants in the Bible. Talks about it in Genesis, Numbers 13:33, Deuteronomy. Where are we going? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we've seen the sons of the Anak in them. Who are they talking about? Deuteronomy. For only Og, the king of Bashan, was left on the remnant of the Rephaim. Behold, his bed was the bed of iron. It is not in Rabbah of the Ammonites. 9 cubits was its length. Hey, somebody out there, look up 9 cubits. How big was this dude's bed? How big's 9 cubits? Folks, this stuff's right in the Bible. 9 cubits.
About 15 feet.
How much?
About 15 feet. About 15 feet
long bed. Then 4 cubits across, 8 feet across. Samuel, after this, there was again war with the Philistines of Gob. And the Sebekai, the Hushathai, struck down Saph, who was one of the descendants of the giants. Deuteronomy, great people, great and many, and tall as the Anakim, but the Lord destroyed them before the Amorites, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place. Okay, got it? Hey, look, I'm just quoting Bible to you, because you're the one that told me Bible says that I believe it, that settles it. So I thought, wow, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, number 11, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, wouldn't you know it, they discover in the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947, the Book of Giants. Not in the Bible. Well, of course it wouldn't be in the Bible. They discovered it in 1947. Now, hang on. Let's just say it's just a copy of the New York Times. All right. It doesn't mean it's Bible canon. It doesn't mean it's biblical truth, but it is a, what would they call that? It's evidentiary confirmation of something that was going on at this time. So I could tell you what's going on in America at 911, and you can get 10 different versions of it. And you with me? So what's the Book of Giants, which was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947? Is it fair to say that the patriarch Enoch was as well known to the ancients as he is obscure to modern Bible readers? Besides giving his age, Enoch, do you believe Enoch lived to be 365 years? You believed he lived to be 365 years, but you don't believe in giants? The Book of Genesis says of him only that he walked with God, and afterwards he was not, because God had taken him. Many of the legends about Enoch were collected already in ancient times in several anthologies. All kinds of books out there about Enoch. Enoch lived before the flood, during a time when the world and ancient imaginations were very different. Human beings lived much longer. For one thing, Enoch's son Methuselah lived to be 969 years. Does it, you guys believe that? You believe that? He lived to be 969 years? Wow. Kind of different, isn't it? I wonder if he took any vitamins. I lost myself. Enoch lived before the flood during, I'm sorry, there it is, 969 years. This fact is neutrally reported in Genesis 6:1-4. Angels begot children with human females. Can you highlight that, Spencer? So freely, right in the middle of the third paragraph. Right there, yeah, right there. So freely, in fact, that some of the angels begot children with human females. The fact is neutrally reported in Genesis, but other stories view this episode as a source of corruption that made the punishment for the flood necessary. According to the Book of Enoch, we're not allowed to read the Book of Enoch. Look, it may not be scripture, but it could be contemporary evidence. So I hear you. People say, oh, Coach Dave, now you have really won. I cannot follow you anymore, Coach Dave, because you are not in the Bible. Okay, well, go ahead. This fact is essentially, according to the Book of Enoch, the mingling of angel and human was actually the idea of Shimshaza, the leader of the evil angels, who lured 200 others to cohabitate with women. The offspring of the unnatural unions were giants 450 feet high. Listen, folks, this is in the Book of Giants. The wicked angels and the giants began to oppress the human population to teach him to do evil. For this reason, God determined to imprison the angels until the final judgment and to destroy the earth with a flood. And Enoch's efforts to intercede with heaven for the fallen angels were unsuccessful. The Book of Giant. The Book of Giant. Okay, I'm going a half hour. Here is my point. If we can't even get history straight from 2001, 9-1-1, if we can't even get history straight from 1963 when John F. Kennedy was murdered in Dallas, if we can't even get history straight from January 6th, which was only 3 years ago, we're supposed to believe every one of these extra biblical books aren't true. How do you believe any history? How do you believe any history? Rochelle, come on in.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Coach. So I just want, the Dead Sea Scrolls. There has been like fake news put out about the Dead Sea Scrolls. I just want to say that they, back in the day, they even challenged the Book of Daniel because the description was so detailed that the drama that played out during the time of Alexander the Great, the Bible scholars were saying that it was so detailed it must have been written after the fact. And then when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, which proved the earlier date of the Book of Daniel, and that all of that prophecy was written before, they hide it because it really does prove prophecy, that you've got a God outside of time who can tell you what's going to happen in the future and write it down and say, see, because I am outside of your time space.
So Rochelle, one of the sad things is many Bible scholars are complicit with covering up extra biblical evidence.
Well,
they say it's not in the Bible, therefore it can't be true. What?
Well, they are failing us. I am tired of these biblical scholars because they say that, okay, Jesus quoted this out of the book of Psalms. So you look it up in the book of Psalms and yeah, it kind of says what he said. But then if you look it up and say the book of Jubilees, it is exactly what Jesus said. Jesus quotes the book of Jubilees and he quotes Enoch. And anybody says that Enoch is not scripture, you're saying that our Messiah, who was said he was quoting the scripture, was a liar. So you need to reevaluate what you've been told by these so-called Bible scholars and give the text and the actual book a lot more credit because it's worthy of it. It's the word of our Creator.
Thank God for Michael Heiser, the late Michael Heiser. Thank God for L.A. Marzulli. Thank God for some of these guys who are doing extra biblical research, folks. Extra biblical research. Hey, look. They've changed the John F. Kennedy narrative. They've changed the 9-1-1 narrative. They've changed going into the Middle East narrative. Why? Because those who write it, you just watch that clip of those reporters talking about how Joe Biden is the healthiest guy you ever want to see. And you see with your own eyes and you don't want to believe it. But see, it does have impact. Why? Because many of the people that you hang out with are believing what they're seeing on TV and what they're reading in the Bible. I'm sorry, in the literature. And you say, you know what? I believe the Bible, but I was checking out this book of John. I was checking out this book of Enoch. And it would be like watching a church service and then going and watching the news of the day. So the newspaper is printed, and the newspaper is printed telling you what's going on at that time. May not be biblical doctrine, but it's a historical reference for what was going on at the same time that the Bible, huh? And then who put those books in the Bible? I'm losing friends today. I just want to know the truth. That's all I want to know. And what do you do with all the biblical evidence? Come on in, Kevin.
Well, you know, Dave, we see how short today's attention span is and how short people's memories are. We literally watched the mainstream media flip the script 6 months later from something that they said. It'll be completely opposite of what they just said 6 months ago, and most people won't even remember what they said 6 months ago. Okay, so if they were able to pull off revisionist history in generations past that did have long memories, how much more susceptible is this generation to being lied to and falling for it? when they can't even remember what they said 6 months ago.
Would anybody besides me like to get into the Vatican Library? Would anybody like to get into that thing other than me? The library buried at the bottom of the Vatican. And why aren't all of those books in the Vatican Library? How come they haven't been reprinted and reproduced and put in PDF form and sent out for the entire world to be able to read?
Hey, man.
If they want us to know the history. We want us to know the history. So I want to circle back around. Have any of you ever been in your church and had any type of sermon series or program, Bible study, pick whatever it is, regarding the giants? Any of you ever had one, even one?
My wife keeps raising her hands, Coach.
Say it again.
I said my wife keeps raising her hand.
You get what I'm saying, though, right, folks? And so we can't understand why what's going on around us. The average person doesn't understand the demonic realm. We have no understanding of it. When I was a football coach, and I hate to keep using this reference, when I was a football coach, baby, we studied our films, but we studied the opponent's film. Why did I study the opponent's film? Because I wanted to see how they operated and what it was they did. Now you ask yourself, are you being given a treatise, an education on the opponent's tactics? Are you? Or do we just hear, well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And it all sounds good. In fact, I can quote it. But is there any application to it other than what Randy is doing? You mean Randy is doing what it says in Joshua? Every place you set your foot, I've given unto you as an inheritance. Only be strong and very courageous. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. Casting down imaginations. Huh? Pulling down strongholds. Are you being coached on that in your church? And who those evil spirits are that we're wrestling against? Yes. And is it possible that Nancy Pelosi, just asking the question, is it possible Nancy Pelosi is powered by a demonic spirit? Is that possible? Does the average Christian, I'm talking about me now, I sit here and I watch that video of Nancy Pelosi and I see demonic activity. That's me. I watch those guys on TV and I see them willfully, openly lying and not caring at all about it. They are of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. And why are we in the mess that we're in today? Because the church will no longer talk about the supernatural. Here's what the devil's doing, and here's what Jesus did about it, and what the apostles did about it, and what they did. And this is how, in this life that we're living, your best life now, it ain't about money, it ain't about happiness, it ain't about anything. Dude, you are in a war against these guys over here, and you would do well to study their tactics. And we don't. You doing it in your church? Talking about any of this in your church? Come on in, Trent.
No, Coach. A matter of fact, we're taking Juneteenth off.
Whoa.
That's how sick it is.
Yeah.
That's how dead it is. You know, Jesus gives life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
Be powerful, Coach. Amen.
Hey, Roger Weaver, you still out there, I think, Roger, because you're always talking about going to your church. And I know you don't want to make fun of your church, and I'm not trying to make fun of your church. Roger, what would happen at your church if L.A. Marzulli was given the pulpit for three Sundays in a row to talk about fallen angels, the Nephilim? What would happen in your church, Roger?
That is a very good question. I think 20% of the people would be in tune. I mean, they're not everybody's confused in those pulpits. I think 20-25% would say, huh, I want to listen to this dude.
Mm.
I think there'd be another 20% that would be a little restless, but might hang around. And this is interesting. I've read about these giants someplace. I think they're called the New York Giants. But then I think there'd be 50% that would be heading out for more coffee and donuts. Just not quite sure how this is all relevant to love. And now, if he could tie it into love, if he could tie it into God is madly in love with you, as the Bethel music is singing, they might hang around. You might get a few more to hang around. That's kind of what would happen.
It's sad, isn't it? Sad because what? We should be in a position where I just lost my screen. What the heck did I do wrong here, Spencer? I lost everything. Oh, there it is. There it is, I think. Folks, how can we do war against the forces of darkness if we don't even understand them? If we don't even know that they're out there?
Dave, let me just say this real quick, okay? You concede that we are in a spiritual war, and most of the church is completely oblivious to the fact because they deny the supernatural, okay?
So that's let me give you this
quote from Dr. Frank Turek. The most dangerous thing you can do in any war is to not know that you're in one.
The most dangerous thing you can do regarding war is to not know that you are in one. And Alex Jones was right. It is an info war. An info war, right? Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, I think you asked that question to Roger. Here's what this is my beliefs. I think the number is about 90 to 95% of the people in that church are going to think he's a nut. They ain't going to listen. Just go to them and ask them to go to a school board meeting. They're harming the children. They don't even want to hear that. Why would they want to hear L.A. Marzulli? They won't listen.
Good point, man. Good point. They would just actually, they would quit coming, wouldn't they, Jeff? They would quit coming to church. Jeff Nell, go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, Coach. The former leader, founder of the Communist Party USA, Gitlow, says change the church from spiritualism to materialism.
Take it from spiritualism to materialism. Dude, that's happened, hasn't it? That's where we are. Johnny.
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to tell you about who's got a VPN out there, a virtual protection network. What it does is it protects your phone from them being able to invade your information, so that it makes you look like you're somewhere else throughout maybe the country or wherever you want to be in the world. And the point of this is if you position yourself somewhere in another country, it's amazing what you're not allowed to view on the internet. You should check that out. If you put yourself over in, say, up in Canada, and you want to look for something that you normally watch, you know, here in the States, a lot of things that you can see here, they do not allow you to see there.
And so now the one to put warning labels on it, right, Johnny? So warning label means what? You're not even going to be able to speak about. Folks, why is this important? Because men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for the things coming upon the earth. That's what the scripture says, friends. That's what it says. And so they have to make sure that they do everything they can to bury this truth. Imagine the fear that you're going to have. Spencer, I just sent you a quote. Get that thing up there for me. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, and you know who's deciding who is on the no talk list, right? The Southern Poverty Law Center, because they're the ones that feed the database that the government's not allowed to keep, right? Good luck with that.
Amen, amen. So who's controlling the narrative? Who's controlling the narrative in your church? I'm sorry to go there, but you better wake up. What is it going to be like? I don't know, friends. I don't know. What if there's a dark, Russ Dizdar called it the dark awakening. Are you guys familiar with Russ Dizdar's work? He called it the dark awakening. What if this dark awakening actually begins to happen? And these demonic beings, whatever form they would be, begin to rise and resurface again in the natural realm. Are most people going to be prepared for that? The question is absolutely not. You go talk to your average friend and you mention the word Nephilim. They won't even know. They'll have no idea what you're talking about. scroll down here. This is the Library of Digital Collection, University of Michigan Library. This was Abraham Lincoln said this in 1865. Clear on down. Go clear to the bottom. Niagara Falls. Abraham Lincoln was doing a ceremony at the Niagara Falls. President Abraham Lincoln. Keep going. And there's the entire speech that he gave. Now look. He concludes his speech by saying, but still there is more. It calls up the indefinite past. When Columbus first sought this continent, when Christ suffered on the cross, when Moses led Israel through the Red Sea, nay, even when Adam first came from the hand of his maker, then as now, Niagara was roaring here. The eyes of that species of extinct giants whose bones fill the mounds of America have gazed on Niagara. Huh? Huh? Gino.
Sorry, I got distracted here. I was just saying that we have been lied to in so many different places, anywhere and everywhere.
Because why? Because that is the devil's mode of operandi, folks.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was thinking we wasn't going to be getting this until the Antichrist is here. But he's already preparing his own way to be here. So everybody will be following him before he even gets here. Because the government has lied to us so much that the church is out of it, God is out of it, and they're God, and we got to follow them.
I got to tell you this. The American church is preaching a different gospel than they did 150 years ago.
Amen.
If you don't know that, I cannot. Joe Allen.
This is great stuff.
Thanks. Hey, hang on, Joe. Hey, folks, I don't care if you believe it. I'm bringing stuff to the table. You do your own research. Don't go away and tell somebody I'm not listening to Coach Dave anymore because he believes in us. Look, I'm presenting evidence. You make your own decision. Go ahead, Joe.
But I want you to, you get to a point, picture a tombstone, a beginning date and an end date, and you got that hash mark in between it. What are you going to do in that hash mark? What are you going to do with your life?
That's where we are.
Get some fruit trees and grow an orchard for your children and grandchildren to enjoy. We know what's going to happen in between that space. Enough said.
Craig Mickle.
I got a question for you, Coach. In Jude, they make a very unusual statement. Talks about Michael the archangel contending with the devil for the body of Moses.
Right.
You kind of find that interesting?
I do.
So yeah. Why do you think the body of King Tut is sitting in Washington, D.C. here for the next 6 weeks? Who's Osiris? You remember who Osiris is?
Yeah.
He's the god of fertility, agriculture, afterlife, the dead, the resurrection of life, vegetation, ancient Egyptian religion. What's the Washington Monument, a representation of Osiris missing procreation part?
Mm-hmm.
You think he his body being there with Democratic conventions and all that, you think there's any spiritual connection to that?
Well, I'd say there's probably a pretty strong one.
Yes, sir.
The fact that Washington Monument is shaped as an obelisk, huh? Oh, yeah. Well, I got some more stuff that I could show you, but you couldn't swallow today, so I'm not going to.
Is there any reason why the 2017 and 2024 eclipse crossed over Little Egypt, Illinois?
Just by happenstance, Craig.
Yeah. So yeah, his body here is no. There's a very big spiritual aspect. What's going on with his tomb being here?
So my constant mantra is what? The supernatural has left the church. The church no longer believes in the supernatural unless it's for personal healing or personal deliverance. They don't understand that there's two kingdoms in conflict here. that's over control of the earth, the kingdom of God, and Satan is coming to do what? Try to steal the kingdom. That's what, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What's the works of the devils? Lies, deception, and fear. Jesus came, truth, blood, to destroy those works. And the average Christian going to church thinks that demonic influence is only in their finances and in their family. They don't understand the broader spectrum of what's going on. Dale.
Well, instead of running away, do your research and prove us wrong. That's all. You know, if there's two sides to the coin, let's have the other research. Because, Coach, this isn't the first time that we've gone through this and proven this stuff. And the Word of God declares these things. I mean, it's there. But the fact of the matter is that people don't want to think, Coach. They don't want to think. They just want to go through the motion. There's zombies. You know, they're just walking around. They don't think. There's no critical thinking. There's no, you know, common sense whatsoever. You know, it's kind of like going to that McDonald's. You buy a hamburger, you give them the dollar and the change or whatever, expecting the $1 back, and they look at you because they're lost. Because all through life in the school systems have taught them, no, you don't have to research. Let me tell you what history is.
That's right, brother. So, Dale, let me give you some history. I don't know if you guys know this or not. I've become a fanatic of pistachios. The one you peel yourself. I mean, they're good for the heart, good for a lot. I eat them like crazy. So Michelle and I went yesterday to Sam's Club to get the pistachios, which is where I get them. You get them in these bags. And the bag was the same price, but I noticed the bag was smaller. Smaller bag, same price. That's pretty deceptive, isn't it? Isn't that pretty deceptive? So I can walk around and say, hey, Michelle, pistachios didn't go up. Wow, great. No. They shrunk them by 25%. They went up 25%. See, it's all deception. Everywhere you look, they cannot afford to tell you the truth. Everywhere you look. Randy.
Coach, you're about to wrap this up. I think we need to read Matthew 28:18-20.
Pull that up for us there, Spence. Matthew 28:18-20,
Coach.
All right.
Okay. This is what God sees when looking at the earth right now today, Coach. This is what he sees.
Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Well, that can't be right. He can't have all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It'd be like me sending my grandson Davy to the store and say, Davy, I got all the money you need. Here you go. Davy's not even going to question it. He's 8 years old. He doesn't even know what money is. But Davey's going to go to the grocery store and he's going to all put it up on the counter and they're going to ring it. And then he's just going to hand out the bill, whatever it is, and trust the lady behind it to, because Davey's got all money, has all power. Davey, he wouldn't even question it. He wouldn't even know if he gets change back. He wouldn't care if he got change back. All he knows is he has what in his hand to enough to buy that right there. All power is given unto me both in heaven and earth. So therefore, go you and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Is the church doing that? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen.
Then it says the end of the age in most versions, Coach.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, right.
So, Coach, who is he with? Is he not in us?
It's right.
Coach, is Jesus not in us? Or do we not have all of power and authority on the earth?
We have the manifest power.
Forever? Coach, there's no breaking forever. Look, I don't care what your theology says. You can't take these verses and just discard them like, oh, that was for then or it's for the future. Yep. No, it's for now, Coach. It's for here and now.
It's for here and now.
All that's us. We either have that or we believe it or we don't. So, Coach, with all the darkness, and we see it. Yeah, we see it. Do we really believe that Jesus has all authority and that he is in us and that we are greater than all the things of the earth? If we don't, Coach, we really can't understand the kingdom.
I would say we don't.
We got to understand this, Coach. The kingdom of God is nothing is going to stop it. Nothing. Not all the AI, not all the humanists, the orgs they make. Nothing. The superhumans is not going to stop this, Coach. So why are we so afraid? We aren't. We should not. There is no fear for the kingdom of God. It is rolling. It's never going to end, Coach. We got to understand this.
Is this being taught in most of our pulpits, Randy?
No.
Is it any wonder? That's why I constantly say the supernatural's left the church. And until we realize that this giant, this demons, this real stuff, until we get it and understand what's going on, until we understand that homosexuality is demonic, friends, transgenderism, that stuff's demonic. We're dealing with the demonic. Until the church comes out and calls it out for what it is, because why? The church is the only opposition to lies. The truth is the only opposition to lies. And the church, wanting to make everybody feel good, will not speak out against this stuff. They won't do it. It's a great deception. Gino.
Yeah, I like what Randy said. He's going to back up what I'm saying, because what we have to realize, the Bible we're reading today was inspired by God, but it was to lead us to Jesus Christ. It was the story why Jesus Christ came. Even Jesus himself said, if everything was written about me or about what's going on, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to hold it. So mm-hmm. we have the Bible. And then what Randy said, where is Christ within? If we have faith and believe in him and what he did for us, he's within us. And no matter what comes out, we still have to have our faith on him, because he is the only truth that exists.
And 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. Can you find that real quick, Spencer? 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hey, friends. Jesus didn't come to make you healthy, wealthy, or wise. Now, it might be a consequence of following Christ, following the rules, the dietary rule. That might be a consequence of it, but that ain't why he came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And when he hung on the cross, what did he say? Anybody know what he said? What did he say when he hung on the cross?
It is finished.
It's done, baby. It's done. What? I've destroyed the works of the devil. All power is now given unto me, both in heaven and earth. You guys go and take control of it. Take authority of it. And the church is teaching evacuation. Betty, go.
I'm here. I just want to say that people need to watch everything, because like cookies, when I was buying cookies, I was getting 12 cookies for $4.69. Now I get 6 cookies for $4.69. And coffee pods, they were 100 in a box for like $39.99, and I noticed at Sam's they went to 80 cups for $39.99. So people need to watch what they're buying, because you're getting ripped off.
It's everywhere, man. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh my. Dale.
Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 says, don't you realize? That's the problem. The church don't realize that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells inside of you also. Amen. Instead of going into the world, instead of the church going into the world, the church has invited the world into the church.
Because why? We have forgotten the supernatural. Hey, friends, if the devil is good at destruction, lies, destruction, and fear, if that's his modus operandi, don't you think we ought to be trained in how to oppose that? Don't you think that the church ought to be standing up and speaking against homosexuality, against transgenderism? Instead, the world has become the salt of the church. The church is accepting it. We're accepting the unfruitful works of darkness. We're celebrating it. We're telling people not to expose it. Jesus said it had nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. See you tomorrow.